In today's episode, I sit down with my man, Vaughn Vernon, the founder of A-Guard, which was the only insurance company I ever used as a gym owner. It's also the only insurance company I recommend to my clients to use in the fitness industry. Vaughn and I jam on all kinds of things. We talk about insurance, obviously. We talk about health share, which is a great alternative to providing you and your staff healthcare options. But we get into a ton of industry conversation because what you don't realize, an insurance company like Vaughn's sees everything. It sees all the gym closings, all the gym transactions being sold. It sees which gyms are able to buy buildings, and not because everyone needs insurance for this stuff. And you don't really think about it, but it's like, fuck, he sees all these different data points because no matter what the data point is, there's generally a transition in which somebody needs new insurance or they're getting rid of their insurance because they're closing the gym. So he's got such a good 30,000 foot view of the industry and what's happening at large. I always enjoy talking with Vaughn. If you're interested, grab the link in the show notes and I'll connect you with Vaughn personally. If you have any questions as it relates to setting up health share, insurance for yourself, your building, your business, let's get into the episode. What is up, guys? It is Stu and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. I've got my man Vaughn Vernon on the podcast. He's been on the podcast before. Last time I had you on, brother, we talked about you were going through the rebranding at that time from Affiliate Guard to A-Guard. You and I have had the privilege of meeting in real life. It was Portland last time and we got to we were all at some fucking dive bar towards the end of the night, knocking back some whiskeys or something like that. I remember.
Yeah, that was a good time. That was before the country got all fucky with Rona.
Can you imagine? I mean, when we were there in Portland, it was a little fucking like, I mean, I remember hanging out. I mean, there was shit on the streets or whatever, but it wasn't like what it is today. I have to, it's gotta be 10 times worse today.
Oh, a gajillion times worse, dude.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Those places, you just got to say goodbye. It's gone. Yes. It's not coming back. That in San Francisco.
Dude, during the shutdown, I had like three gyms get burnt down to the fucking ground with the rioting up there.
No kidding.
I know.
Bro.
What are you going to do?
Well, good thing they had you.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there a rider in their insurance for Antifa? Is there a special Antifa rider?
Yeah, I hear you. If you put them on a lead diet with the 226, like stop doing shit.
There's a comedian. He was like, man, I don't really know what Black Lives Matter is, what they're for or against, but I got a feeling they're against Windows. They've got a real problem with Windows.
They got a problem. A big fucking problem with Windows.
So it's been interesting, man. And we haven't even caught up since, I stepped out from the gym ownership, retired from the gym ownership game, I leased out the building and still doing the consulting and the gym real estate stuff. And I've been sending a lot of people your way, especially on the gym real estate side, is we work with a lot of concepts that are getting kicked off and they need to get set up with some insurance. What is that insurance game looking like these days? As group fitness has become more abundant, is that a higher risk for you guys? Or is it less of a risk? Because go back to 2010, you know, insurance companies getting hit up, not really knowing what the fuck's going on in these gyms. What does that look like on the insurance front now that we, you know, boutique group fitness is a commonplace?
Bro, that is such a good question. So fuck, when CrossFit barely first come out, functional fitness just come out. A lot of these underwriters looked at this business model as if, you were running a full-blown crystal meth lab in a fucking daycare. They didn't want to touch this shit with a 10-foot pole, right? Now we have so much loss data for fucking what? Decade and a half of data where it's not as gnarly as everybody thought it would be. Yeah, you get somebody getting fucked up here and there. That's just nature of the beast, but I think a lot of it too, Stu, is smarter programming, a lot less, you know, you don't get gyms anymore that are doing hero wads every fucking day. And, the temperature is a lot less than what it was before. I feel the rates are a lot more, steady. I'll tell you what's not steady though, Stu, is these fucking property rates, dude. So Let's go down that rabbit hole for a minute with the buildings and shit. So Lloyd's of London, they invented insurance back in the 1700s. They are judge, jury, and executioner. So on the property end of the stick, the property piece is property and casualty. And the rate on property for buildings is just fucked. There's no other way to put it. Let me give you an example. There's this dude out of New Jersey. I've done his business insurance forever. He works for a huge conglomerate called Hub. They're one of the biggest players in the country. So he was telling me about this HOA he was insuring in Miami. And the expiring premium was like 165 grand. Renewal came in at 825,000 bucks. Best they could do in the marketplace. So there's a couple of different linchpins that are tweaking this. So number one is you have all these crazy fires that are burning houses down, burning buildings down, shit like that. So that's a caveat for sure. And number two is fucking inflation and building material and labor. I mean, fuck, dude, that's doubled or tripled, you know?
It's crazy. So you're not right. So what you said, we got a client on the Jim real estate side. He gets to us. He's like, yeah, you know, I had a broker. I didn't really think he was doing much for me, but he was really hell bent on this one property. And I looked at it and I'm like, you realize this is in a flood zone, right? He goes, what's a flood zone? I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, it's little things like that. Cause you know, you'll get a gym owner who's either going to lease or maybe they were looking to purchase a building. And it's just little things like that, that they don't even think of. And then they're going to contact you and be like, why is this fucking thing so high? This in premium so high. Oh, nobody told me that this area floods. What is it? It was like 9 out of 365 days. There's going to be a potential flood. And yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. That's a fucking problem. Yeah. That flood insurance, dude, is the devil. That's so expensive. And the rate you off, so how they usually roll is, so say your building's $1 million, they're going to rate you off a 5% deductible. If this thing gets washed out or whatever, you're out of pocket that to make yourself whole again. So, dude, that's got to be rough for them.
It is. I'm curious. So with the rise, you know, my business obviously over time has evolved. You know, I was into that when I started the consulting in 2015, I'm pretty much primarily CrossFit for the next 3 to 4 years. And then now I'm primarily, you know, franchise, boutique, open gym. I've got a good, nice size portfolio of pretty much everything. It's no longer all that. Is your insurance been the same? Are you guys bringing in other models outside of CrossFit as well? Are you seeing the MMA and mixed martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu studios, all that kind of stuff?
That's the focus for this year, actually, Stu. Really? It took me a year and a half to convince my underwriters that jiu-jitsu and MMA isn't what CrossFit used to be starting out. It's a lot more reeled back in. And that's actually our huge focus for 24 is MMA, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, you name it. We've been doing a lot of what the fuck happened to F45, by the way? I used to have a shit ton of submissions coming in. That's just gone.
Yeah, I mean they fraudulently submitted their S-1 documents when they did their IPO when they went public, and so they've been. I mean, I think they're delisted now, if I'm not mistaken, off the exchange. But no, they're in a huge sack of trouble. They cannibalized their own things. They just allowed franchisees to open up on top of each other and just kept selling these things under false pretense and false numbers. So they're in a lot of fucking trouble.
Wow. Yeah. That sucks for those owners.
I want to ask though about the MMA thing. So for you, it's probably the most lucrative to find these sectors, these brick and mortars that other underwriters are like, I'm not touching Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm not touching that shit. And then if you actually get into it, Brazilian jiu-jitsu probably has a low injury rate compared. It's probably way not, it's not as bad. Just like you said, it's not, the CrossFit wasn't as bad as everyone thought it was. Is that like a good market opportunity for you, is to go where everyone thinks it's scary?
It's huge, dude. I went down the rabbit hole of my competition in the marketplace. I got two competitors and that's it. And their underwriters they use are a big fat nothing burger, and we're gonna crush it. I can't wait. I look at it like this with jiu-jitsu and CrossFit. There's a lot of parallels here. It's community based physical fitness at the end of the day. I mean, if I do jiu-jitsu and I got my elbow fucked up right before the holidays and it was my own dumbass fault, I'm not going to go, you know what? It's me. I should have just reset and I didn't because I thought I could smash this little fucker and he got me.
And that's the funny thing. A good buddy of mine locally, he's going to go to this jiu-jitsu studio down the street. And I was thinking about that from a business perspective. If I get hurt at a CrossFit gym, I'm going to blame the coach or the owner. But if I get hurt in a jiu-jitsu studio, I'm not going to sue my rolling partner or the studio owner. I'm going to just think I was being a dumbass or I was being a little bitch. It probably you probably don't get that many claims.
You don't, dude. And the claims that do come in are just freak ones. Say someone caught their toe on a mat and twisted weird and popped a toe out, or, you know, you get, you know, maybe get scratched or some shit.
I'd be more worried of MRSA, ringworm, impetigo, more like the wrestler kind of skin disease kind of shit than anything else.
Yeah, they do such a good – the jiu-jitsu gyms that I've been talking to about the sanitary end of the stick, I mean, after every class, they're Johnny on the spot, cleaning shit up. I've got these sparring protocols in place where if you get cut, you're done. You know, if you're feeling fucky, you're done. And it's – I got into a debate with one of my gym owners. She didn't like the sparring guidelines, and she's like, what do I do? Do I need to put this into my waiver and make every one of my athletes sign off on this? I'm like, if you want to, if that makes you sleep better at night, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's your job just to educate these people on this is an inherently dangerous activity. Check your fucking ego out the door. If something feels weird, just reset and start over. And that puts the gym owner in a position where the negligence factor is out the door. Educating their clientele on how this is an inherently dangerous activity, just like CrossFit. And if we get an attorney come after us and sue us, it's going to be hard to pin negligence on this was a them problem, not us. Swifty said it best.
I take you as definitely a Swifty. I can see you're definitely a Swifty.
It's my daughter, dude. She's out of control.
Bro, same thing. She's sick. She was Taylor Swift for fucking Halloween, right?
Wow. Yeah. That's aggressive.
Taylor Swift for Halloween. She's got the blonde hair. I got her a guitar and she just walks around the house just fucking strumming and singing. I know every goddamn word. So question. This is me more selfishly asking. When I'm preparing, I got a startup concept or whatever, is there any general, especially when I'm looking at someone signing a lease, I estimate generally $2.50 a square foot for utilities, just average, right? I estimate insurance premiums going up with every year of business between 3 to 5 to 7%. What are some general tried and true general, you still got to call Vaughn, you still got to run the numbers. But what is someone's okay, what should I estimate for my insurance? Is that based off square footage? Is it based off revenue?
Yeah, it's based off three. So we got number of members, gross sales, excluding merch and protein or whatever. And your business personal property, so all of your equipment, and how much money you dumped into a build out. So these two right here, the equipment and the build out are on their own coverage form. The general professional liability rated off sales, athletes, stuff like that. So let's talk about a startup, right? So a startup gym, let's say we got a $50,000 bill in equipment and another 75K, let's just call it 50K in improvements and betterments. And we usually rate a startup gym anywhere from 75 to 100 heads. I'm going to say maybe $2,000 on the year-ish if we don't have anything fucky on your lease for the landlord.
So $2,000 on the year?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It's okay. So that's $2,000. That's about 100,000 in equipment and build out. And then around 100-ish members type scenario, $2,000. Yep. And then as it grows, because
generally the their gross revenue, those receipt, those grow their gross cash is going to grow faster, and the membership will grow faster than additional equipment that, yeah, you know, especially if remote, like in those boutique scenarios, the franchises, the metabolics, the F45s, they have one equipment package. They never have to buy anything again. They buy everything once versus CrossFit gym. Every time fucking Rogue comes out with a new something or another, gym owners are buying new shit left and right. So how much of like more new equipment acquisition over the years increases the insurance versus just the increase of members and cash flow?
Okay. So that piece of the puzzle, the equipment stuff, is a lot cheaper than the general professional liability. So let's talk about this. So I've been getting a ton of gyms adding in cold plunges and saunas, right?
Yeah,
that's a thing. So that's usually $7,500 nut after the day, after electrical and all the things. So that might be an additional $150-$200 on the year to insure that. So that be, let me talk about this for 2 seconds, bro. So if you're getting a sauna in and it's like a 220, whatever, please fuck get a licensed contractor to install that. Don't do it yourself. We had a fucking fire.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do a 220 volt outlet DIY. You watching YouTube.
Yes. Yes. That way, if something gets fucky, we can go after the electrician and you're not the one holding the bag because you're basically the insurance company if that happens.
Yeah, and not only you're facing the insurance company, your landlord's going to be up your ass next as well.
Oh, stage five clinger. You fucked
exactly.
up.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It was when I brought the brewery into my building and we were going, I was looking over all their insurance docs. The insurance for a brewery, like all the ride for like fights and all the random shit that could happen in a brewery. And yep. I mean, it was, fuck, it's not a business. I'll go to them. I don't want to own one. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's a lot of liability.
It's a ton. I mean, you know, the amount of cameras and stuff and all that on the outside they had to put in and all that is impressive. Let me ask you this. A lot of gyms I work with now, you've got a cash investor funding it. I've got the owner operator who's going to be developing sweat equity over a certain period of time. That investor, what's the opportunities thing? How do you explain to everyone like key man insurance concepts?
Okay, so I'm the SOB, son of the boss. My old man put a key man on me. So I'm the head of the snake. If I leave this earth unexpectedly, my dad gets $1 million, right? So with key man, it depends, dude. Like all insurance is transferring risk with money. Sometimes those key mans can be a pretty penny. I would probably think, you know, it kind of depends what the risk appetite is of that said investor. I mean, if you did a key man policy for like $100,000 or something like that, that's pretty cheap. Then these are ish numbers. That might be like $75 to $100 a month.
Could you just explain to everybody what key man insurance is, essentially, what that's for?
So the key man insurance is I'll use me as the example. So I'm the face of the brand. I'm the marketer. I have all the relationships with the underwriters. I provide all this revenue into the agency and employ all the team and all that stuff. So it would take, you know, if I die, this $1 million in theory would be to replace me, to find someone to replace me to do all the ins and outs that I do. So that's it in a nutshell.
Got it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. When me and my business partner bought that building, I was obviously the owner operator. And I was 51% cash in and equity and he was 49, but he went and got a key man policy on me. Cause you know, he's more concerned. If I go down, I'm the owner operator. I'm the one paying the rent. I never thought to get one on him. And, you know, the way life works with its sixth sense of humor, he's 50 years old, gets, you know, I'd say about a year after we closed on the building, gets diagnosed with cancer and he died last year. So then I had to, you know, the bank didn't call the note or anything. I had to then go and buy his portion out from the estate. And, you know, it was a whole thing, but I went back and I was like, fuck, I should have gotten key man on him.
Yeah.
You know, It's but it is. I've heard that about Keyman Insurance. It's, you know, you better. It can be very pricey. Is it better to just do like a life insurance as a with the beneficiary being the partner?
Well, and then you got, so every state's different on this, dude. That's a great question too, man. If the life insurer finds out this is a business relationship and who the beneficiary is, then there's probably language in that contract of no, yeah. That's got to be a key. Thanks for your money. Go fuck yourself. Right.
Yeah.
So that would be, if you guys are going down that Keyman rabbit hole, find a life insurance agent that is licensed in your state to ask all these questions, because there is a shit ton of moving parts with those.
I want to talk about, I've got a lot of guys now in the process of acquiring and purchasing property, and there's going to be an upfit. And I try to explain to them, I said, here's the deal. You're going to buy this building, your SBA loan, we rolled in the upfit, and you're going to have construction materials on site. You're going to have insurance, instruction, and construction company is going to want an insurance writer on this as well. Talk to me about all the insurance elements people don't think of when they get excited about buying commercial property.
Okay. I love being an insurance geek with you, bro. Here we go. All right. So it's called a course of construction policy or a builder's risk policy. Devil's in the details on this bitch. So if you start construction and then buy this policy, you're fucked. No, you can't do that. You gotta have this in play before you start swinging hammers and nails and getting crews rocking and rolling and all that stuff. So it's rated off material and labor. So you can do a 30-day policy, a 60-day policy, a 90-day policy, semi-annual, annual, just depending how long this scope of work looks. Does that make sense? So let me give you an example. So we just had this happen. One of my insurance buddies here in Utah, there's this huge homeowners association getting built, all stick framed. We have these crazy east winds come and just knock this whole son of a bitch down. That course of construction policy paid over $7 million in material and labor because it had to be all scrapped and rebuilt. So if you're doing TIs in your gym, setting up walls, whatever, if you get vandalized or if someone comes in and steals all your shit or if it gets burnt down to the ground, insurance company is going to make you whole on those materials and what the forecasted labor is. Now, we know with how the construction market is now, how construction materials peaks and valleys, it's not what it used to be, right? So we'll have inflation guards and stuff on that to protect you as the end user, where if, you know, if your shit got stolen or burnt down to the ground or whatever, and a piece, sheet of plywood was $40 and now it's $75, we have these inflation guards to keep you insulated on that as well. Does that help?
Yeah, no, it does. Are there any insurance policies say me as a landlord, it wouldn't maybe be Keyman, but are there any insurance policies available on my tenant in case something happens to that tenant and he is not able to perform? And now I've got to get back to the market. I got to find, but there might be a lag where my building's empty and I've got a mortgage on this property.
So the only thing that I've seen is in lease agreements, this might be a good question for Matthew Becker at Gym Lawyers. So I've seen verbiage in these lease agreements where they make the tenant carry what's called business interruption insurance. And we have to list on the policy the landlord as the person who gets that check. So if there's a fire, if there's a flood, if the sewer backs up and there's a shit ton of black water on the floor, the language is it has to be triggered from a property loss. So the MLB, get this shit. So the MLB, every MLB team sued Lloyd's of London, trying to get them to redefine that verbiage so they could get business interruption insurance from COVID because they lost their ass on it. That didn't work. But business interruption plays off of a property occurrence, a property loss.
Got it. So it can't just be, we sucked at business this year, And right. Yeah, went out of business. Got it. There'd actually have to be an impact to the physical property.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Man, it's interesting. What else, you know, on your end is, as people are, you know, actually, I'm going to ask this one. I'm going to ask you. I had Craig Patterson, Patty on.
I love Patty.
Dude, he's a fucking trip. Yep. You, me, and him need to have cocktails together sometime. Yep. So he was telling me, and I believe, I hope I'm not misquoting him. Pretty sure he said he got the number from you. He was talking about the number of CrossFit gyms that have exchanged hands over the years. I mean, you know, one sells, because you're the one who gets notified when I'm selling my gym to so-and-so kind of scenario. Where would you put that number in the time that you've been in the CrossFit scene for insurance?
Tens
of the
thousands.
Number of gyms that have exchanged hands?
Tens of thousands.
Jeez, yeah. It's
nuts.
Crazy. We were speculating what that number would be, and I believe his answer was there, and I was like, God damn, because it is. I mean, it's so funny. I mean, I'll get an A&M call where someone's like, "Hey, someone's gonna buy the gym for me." I'm like, "Let me guess, it's one of your coaches or a member. Let me guess, right?"
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, Exponential Fitness isn't calling to buy your gym. Weird, right? It's so crazy. But I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how. I'm like, all right. But I mean, those little rinky-dink deals that are like, you know, essentially give me a $50 Chipotle gift card in here. Here's the gym. Here's the business.
There you go. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly is how it goes.
Exactly.
What does someone have to think of if they are going to sell the business from an insurance perspective? Is there anything they need to consider there?
Yeah, there is. So devil's in the details, just like anything else, Stu. So this is what I, if it was me selling my gym, I would make the new owner have their own corp or LLC. And then that's how that goes. So what happens is, in my opinion, so if I have the owner come absorb my LLC or corporation, then I transfer all the shares over to them where I'm not a corporate officer anymore. There's still a chance that you can get drawn in to like a bodily injury claim or some shit like that. The cleanest way to do it is to drop that EIN number, get that out of your life, and have the new person come in with their own LLC. Now, so let's say I sell my gym. He has their own LLC or whatever. And then the new gym owner gets served papers from the local law firm of Dewey, Fuckham & Howe, trying to sue me for a bodily injury claim that happened 2 years ago. So now I'm on the hook, even though I don't own the business anymore. So we're married to you as a business owner for 3 years after the fact. Okay. So pretty much every state in the country, you got a 2-year window to report in a bodily injury claim before it gets kicked out for time restraints. So that's how that guy looks.
Do you still, when I was coming up, when I was 15, you know, I was hanging out, you know, back then it was like, you know, I was at the health clubs, the mom and pop Gold's gyms, things like that. And when I got into the global gym industry, the number one thing, I remember this is like day one, was the wheelchair vigilante. Like the guy who came in to the $20 a month Globo gym and would slip, you know, somewhere where some kid was mopping and they didn't put up a fucking sign and they were looking for that opportunity to sue. Now, obviously it's been cyclical, right? Like, you know, the Venice Beach, Arnold area, Gold's Gym had its heyday. And then this micro gym group fitness concept has been going strong. I mean, I'm seeing a huge resurgence on that open gym model coming back and more boutique spots, not 30,000 square feet. We're talking like 6 to 10,000 square foot spots, more boutique, more better branding, shit like that. And I talk with some of these owners and especially if you're a 24/7, and that's where I want to kind of get to, 24/7 facility, staffless, right? You have key code access kind of thing, people come and go, that kind of scenario, like hybrid AF, which I know you work with as well. Are claims for those gyms, staffless gyms, higher than staffed gyms?
As of this 5 minutes, no. This is still relatively new. Hybrid AF has been doing their thing for what, 4 or 5 years now ish?
Yeah.
The occurrences that I have seen, Stu, had a guy, a trainer, going to open up the gym at 5 a.m. and there was a member hunched over on the rower, dead. Then he was the only one in the gym, and calls me up, tells me what happened, and EMTs come and do their thing. Sudden cardiac arrest is what got him. And that's the only one I've seen. So let's talk about Hybrid AF. When they first came to me, telling me about their business model, not only was it no, it was fuck no. And
I mean, will you give anyone who's not familiar, we give them just a quick background as what
happened. Yeah, Hybrid Athletic Foundation, they're amazing. So they have this app set up for 24/7 access to gyms. And they have it turnkey where they're helping you out with video surveillance, with the key fob, with it pings you every time Joe comes to work out, whatever. So when I was telling the guys at Hybrid AF, like, this dog ain't gonna hunt, guys. No way. You have to have some form of loss control in place. So they came back to me and like, okay, we got this on the app where when the member walks into the gym, their phone screen turns red, where if they get fucked up, they press their button and the local EMTs get deployed to their drop pin where they're at. So that's basically the secret sauce of why my underwriter signed off on this model. I feel with the job that they've done is fucking amazing. I take my hat off to them. I really do. But you get these other gym members, or the gym owners, excuse me, that want to DIY it, which is fine. If they're going to do that, you're going to need emergency lanyard systems. You're going to need video surveillance. You're going to need keyless entry. You're going to need 24/7 verbiage on your waiver. If anybody needs help on that, I got templates out the ass for that. No minors are allowed for this either, BTW. That's no bueno. So with those, you know, and this is kind of the progression of the industry of the community, right? So with all those safeguards in place, we're good with it. We don't charge extra premium. You just need to have these safeguards in place.
I've had the Iron 24 guys on, which is a franchise out of Texas. Again, think of more of a strength focused Globo gym, like a Snap Fitness, Anytime Fitness type scenario, smaller footprint, 10 to 12, 15,000 square feet, but it's 100% staffless. Besides the cleaning crew that comes in every day, not a single staff member on site. There's iPads when you come in, you have to key code access in and out, all the retails in, like, you know, the vending machine with Apple Pay and blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting though, because I've been going back and forth with people like, well, I want the connection. I'm like, the front desk girl connection, like, all that is someone that one of the guys at the gym is going to try to fuck this month. That's literally who the front desk girl is, right? And and nobody wants to be a front desk girl forever. So you just signed yourself up for hiring a new front desk girl or guy every fucking 3 months. I mean, I truly, you know, these gym, like micro gyms, if I take the payroll number and I can reduce that by 20%, if not greater, a lot of gyms are way, way, way more profitable. When you're running group fitness, you need a human in there. But a lot of these open gym models that are coming back online and getting popular again with, you know, the growth of Gymshark and that whole lifestyle and Marcus Philly functional bodybuilding and that whole thing, I question everybody. I'm like, you really got to consider whether having staff on site is a necessary, you know, line item for your expense. I mean, if it's, you know, who needs a gym tour anymore? Right, for the most part. A big health club that Sally, who's never fucking worked out a day in her life, Lifetime, you know, as shit like that, that's different. But for some of these CrossFit style, more functional fitness gyms, if anyone's going in there, they've seen a kettlebell before.
Yeah. One of my biggest concerns is, you know, if you're running that model 24/7, 365 without a staff member in there, and if somebody has a cardiac arrest and there's no AED deployed, I mean,
So, I mean, is I so to tell me that, like, is the difference in that just way more expensive insurance?
Like with the Iron 24 you're talking?
Yeah, like
I
the
would
staff is
assume that they're paying a pretty penny.
yeah.
Yeah, because there's that's a lot of risk with, you know, with these defibrillators too. If you deploy it and God forbid they don't survive and you get sued for wrongful death, you're insulated by Good Samaritan law.
Yeah,
That's
correct. Yeah, absolutely.
yeah,
Yeah, I was an
you know.
EMT in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but let me ask you this then. You know, it's also what percentage of people come back from an AED? It's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, it's not a lot. It's, I mean, again, if someone's, if it's happening, it's happening. Fuck. Yeah, I get it. I see it both ways. I just, I like staffing has been the hardest thing on my end of the business since COVID, trying to hire trainers and managers and people who want to, you know, trying to hire someone to be a GM for $45,000 a year, that's not an easy fucking gig, right? Especially when they can go show their ass on Instagram as a trainer or a coach and they can make 7 grand a month working from home. You know, COVID kind of showed all those trainers that have any personality at all that, oh, I could go online and have 85 remote training clients and make 7 grand take home, you know, every month. So it's been tough to staff these gyms. And so some of them, you know, as they switch their models to this 24/7 thing, it's almost been out of necessity. Where do you see from where you're standing and the applications you get for insurance, what's the prevail? Is it still group, right? Like, is it franchise? Is it independent? What are you seeing come through more?
But just a shit ton of boutique gyms, dude.
Yep.
Yep.
Are there any franchises you like or a model like that you've got that you've worked with? Any of the bigger, you know, the moderate sized ones that you've had a chance to work with?
I just been hanging out with doing Orange Theories. F45 once was a thing. Been doing some Spanga
Yeah, that was Spanga. Yeah.
gyms. That's about it. We just been getting, like I say, just a shit ton of boutique gyms and a whole bunch of jujitsu and MMA and all that stuff. So
Have you got any rock climbing facilities?
yeah.
There was a moment in 2021 where that popped a little bit. The rock climbing got kind of popular again. They're just so expensive to stand up. I've seen some of the pro formas on these things and just the initial construction costs.
Oh,
It's
it's
crazy.
unbelievable. Hundreds of
Yeah.
thousands of dollars just to get that thing up out of the hole. And so Great American was the insurer on the lion's share of those around the country. They non-renewed the whole fucking book. So, I mean, I've been seeing premium go up 30, 40%, best case scenario with these other carriers. So there's a lot of risk with those bad boys.
Yeah. When it comes time for a renewal, I have owners ask me this question. Okay, hey, my insurance is up for renewal. What information do I need to provide to my insurance provider?
To renew the policy. So that'd just be updated members, updated sales, and how much more equipment you got or the lack thereof. And then we just tack that on and boom, done.
So now someone's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, well, I'm just gonna fucking downplay the goddamn numbers. So my premiums goes up. So explain if someone does downplay the numbers and then there is a claim,
Yeah.
what would happen in that investigation process?
If you want to be a chicken caught in a tractor's nuts, play that game.
Fucking love you, Vaughn. So and so walk me through like an invest.
All
So
right.
okay,
So let's talk. I
what
had
is
this
the
happen a
request?
while ago. So we ask for updated information every year on renewal, and it is your duty as a policyholder to give us this updated information. If you're playing the game, don't. So if we have a no shit claim and we got to start going in, paying out attorney's fees, all the things, then we're going to start looking at your books. I mean, I've seen them go as high as getting forensic accountants in there running every fucking number. And so what I have seen in the past is if you haven't updated and you have a no shit claim or something happens where you're getting audited, they can go back 5 fucking years legally and get that money out of you. So you pay for it now or you pay for it later. the end of the day, this is an operating expense. It's a tax write-off. Do the right thing. Be upfront. Again, insurance is transferring risk with money. Don't play the game.
I want to kick over to which I still use through your guys, HealthShare.
Yeah.
Just give everyone the rundown as to what HealthShare is compared to insurance.
Okay, so it is not insurance. And there's a lot of people don't like that because insurance is regulated, you know, all the things involved with that. So with HealthShare, you got to do a lot more work as the policyholder if you have a need. So we use this as well. My wife had to go in and get a hysterectomy done a couple years ago. So I called them up and said, hey, look, this is what my wife needs. What do you need from me on my end? And said, all right. They gave me this piece of paper. They said, go up to the hospital and ask them what the self-pay rate is for the surgeon, the anesthesiologist, and the hospital. So I went up there. They gave me a bill for like 45 grand or something like that. And I shot it down to them. Within 72 hours, they had it negotiated down to $19,000. Right? So they cut me a check for Jessica's procedure. And I'm a points whore on my credit card. So I just use all my credit cards to get all my points. And then I paid my credit cards off with that check. You have to show them that too. Because if you want to go down to Vegas and try to double it, they have attorneys you don't want to talk to. Right?
So for everyone listening, so let's the way with HealthShare, you essentially have what looks like kind of like a deductible, right? You have like it's 500, it's 1,000, it's whatever. I think mine's 500. So yeah. In that case, if it was that case and I had and they call these our needs. So for every need that you have, you go ahead and the first 500 or so, or maybe yours is 1,000, whatever it is on you, similar to an insurance deductible. And then after that, the HealthShare, and HealthShare essentially taking everybody's monthly dues and throwing it into a giant pile, and that pile is paying for this. They cut you a check. So it was 19,000, you paid the first 500, they'd send you that check for 18,500.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So with Jess, when pathology, something got fucky with the pathologist and they had to do a whole bunch more research and stuff on that. She had the Assure birth control procedure and they found a whole bunch of that nickel in her ovaries. And I mean, that was like another, fuck dude, that was almost like another 10 grand to get that dealt with Jess. And that was still the same need. So I'm out of pocket, $500 for this whole thing. So it's pretty cool. Like you hear nightmare stories with health sharing, like, God, who's the one that's just giving everybody a black eye? Liberty Health Share, the fucking devil. They've been kicked out of like a couple dozen states because they're crooks. So if you can do health share, make sure you vet them out. Ours is pretty good. But again, it's not insurance.
What's Unite? What's the name of it again?
It is, we switched it up to
United.
I should know this. I'm embarrassed.
I feel like the statement comes to me every month. I see the receipt. I can't think of it right now. It was Sidera originally, right?
It was Sidera. They got biggie britches and started advertising themselves as insurance and got kicked out of states too.
Yeah.
So we had to move Design HealthShare out of St. George, Utah, is who we're using now.
Yep.
So you got the health share into the stick, you got what's called with us that we provide is called the MEC, minimum essential coverage. So this is your mammograms, your annual physicals, stuff like that. So Coaches Health Association is how we branded it, Stu. My two brain cells just worked.
Yeah. Yep. There we go.
There it is.
It's been interesting because I've had, gym owners especially who want to start, the least expensive thing for me to put together on a benefits pay is PTO. Real simple, real easy. Then we get into things like health share, right? We get to there and then everyone's thinking insurance. I push them the health share route. And in the beginning, it was hard. Like, it was a hard sell, and I couldn't understand why. I think it was just because all I've never known is insurance. So anything
Right.
else that sounds better must be a scam. And I'm afraid in a moment of need medically, I don't want to be fucked, right? I don't want the doctor to turn me away after that car accident type scenario.
Right.
But I tell people, my general manager, when I had the gym, Isaac, I mean, I had my staff on health share. And I mean, literally, she had her first child, everything, all that. And I think it was probably Sedera back in the day is what we were using with you. It worked great. And they've made it a lot easier. Like, I mean, when I need to send something to Rose or whoever it is, like whoever, I literally just take a picture of the whatever. When I leave the doctor's office, I just take a picture of it. I just email it to her. And then boom, and I send it to her. And once I've hit the 500, boom, she's sending me checks, you know, the next week. So
exactly. Well, what's cool with HealthShare too, Stu, is you're not rat holed into a network or a PPO and all that bullshit. You can bring your own doctors in that you've seen forever, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I'm getting to pick whoever you want. I mean, it's my fiance, her, you know, she's got really good Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it was funny. It was like, we were talking about, you know, when we finally go and courthouse it up, I'm like, she's like, do you want to jump on mine? I'm like, it just depends. Like, it just depends what my restrictions are. Cause I like just going, I mean, I don't even know if I can say this. I mean, Vaughn, they cover my TRT.
That's awesome.
That's definitely not a medical need. That's fucking elective as fuck.
Right.
I mean, so anyway, I don't know if that's standard or not. I probably should have said that, but I'm going to get an email on that. But no, I thought they've been absolutely great. And for any gym owner who's like, I can't afford to give my staff health care, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to Vaughn and his team and look into what they've got health share wise. It's affordable. And in my opinion, I like the freedom of being able to choose whoever the fuck I want to go to and not have to worry about if you're in network or out of network and this, that. I mean, and I like, as soon as when I go in there and say I'm self-pay, I mean, I went in there, I had to go get a procedure done and I was like self-pay and I got the bill. I was like, that's three digits. That's in the hundreds. It's like hundreds. I was like, holy shit. I was mad it wasn't more expensive. I was like, but fuck. I was like, for a second, I was like, oh my God. Like, but they really will negotiate those prices down. And it's crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's crazy. It's like, then why is it $45,000 if you can negotiate it down to 19?
Yeah. It's like playing a bad game of poker, bro. When I got my fucking hip done back in 2015, I had a $10,000 deductible. Wasn't doing that well at the time. Kind of leveraged out. Had to refinance my fucking truck to make my deductible. And we start jumping in with Sedera. I bring it up. I'm like, oh, I see a deal from Blue Cross Blue Shield. 110 grand for my hip. They're like, oh, that's 30 grand all day. All day.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Talk about charging people to live. What's cool, too, about these gym owners, if they go down this health share route, is they can either pay it in full, pay half as part of their compensation package, or here you go. What do you want to do?
Sure. Yeah. No. Yeah. You can come
versus
up with
the health insurance. You got to nut it all up.
Correct. Yes. 100%. So I've always been really grateful that you went that route and you explored that. Cause not a lot of people were doing that back then. What year was that?
That was what? 13, 14.
Yeah. It was early.
Yeah.
It was real early.
Yeah.
What are you doing these days, man? Now, I mean, like, what, you know, when you're not slinging insurance, what are you doing for fun, dude?
Wrestling with dudes a couple times a week.
Are you doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been doing it off and on for a year. I'm like a fucking 10-year blue belt, bro. So just doing that. Old Man Winter's here in Utah, so I'll be riding my snowmobile on Monday. We just got four feet of fresh powder up in the mountains.
Nice.
And then next week, I'm heading down to California with a couple of my buddies. There's this thing called King of the Hammers down in.
What's that?
So it's like the Super Bowl of off-roading.
Okay.
I mean, you got million-dollar trophy trucks just getting it. So we're going to go watch those guys with that fuck you money grenade all their rigs. So that'll be fun.
Where in Utah are you?
So I am in Davis County. So I'm like 15 minutes north of the airport.
How far are you from Logan?
I am 45 minutes south of Logan.
Father-in-law, Chuck Fedorki, he's over at he's the CEO over at Free Motion iFit.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, out of Logan. I've been thinking, I've been wanting to go up there and see the facility and check it out and all that. And I've been trying to just make my list of fuckers I know in Utah.
Well, you got a place to stay if you want to roll on by.
Yeah, dude, that would be dope. That'd be dope. Vaughn, if anyone, they were listening to us talking, they want to get in touch with you about either insurance waivers and, you know, templates and, you know, keep yourself legal and safe kind of shit or health share, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Vaughn at affiliateguard.info.
Word. Guys, I'll have that down in the show notes. Buddy, it is always good to catch up with you. We need to do it again in person sometime soon.
Hell yeah, my brother. Thank you so much for having me on. Have an awesome weekend.
You too, dude.